Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. It is a Football Friday. And we are underway. Shannon Crowder, as you know, if you listened yesterday, off today. His True Prep Academy Saints are on their way, might already be in Bradenton, taking on the IMG Academy football team, a nationally ranked football team. That game tonight, Crowder prowling the sidelines tonight on ESPNU. And so we welcome in, of course, Alejandro Solana and Dan Day are here. Jay Figg will stop by later. And sitting in Crowder's chair today, Chris Whittingham. Hello, Whitty.
Hello, Hawk. I was going to say, Crowder informed me that the game was on television last Sunday doing Dolphins pregame, and I feel like that is must-watch television tonight.
Yeah, without question. We will we'll talk about it. They are heavy underdogs, but we'll see what Coach Crowder can bring for the True Prep Academy Saints. Chris Whittingham, if you listen to this station, you know, does the Miami Dolphins pregame show with Channing Crowder on Sundays. You will be able to hear them this Sunday. We have a ton of stuff to get to today on this Football Friday. We're going to try to jam about 7 or 8 hours worth of content into 4 hours. It is a loaded potato, as we like to say here on the program. Although I'd really like to start the show by revisiting what we learned at the end of yesterday's show. Solana, would you be adverse to revisiting what we learned at the end of yesterday's show before we forge ahead?
Sure, why not?
This won't shock you, Whittingham. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but I don't know how we learned this information, but Solana went to overnight camp 1 year for 6 days, wrote his parents a letter because there was no communications allowed other than letter writing, wrote his parents a letter that he was thinking of harming himself, and they had to come get him home because he thought that he was signing up for glamping, and instead he got actual camping, and it was not what he was expecting. Solana, did you hear from your parents after yesterday's end of the show?
Yes, Deborah and Eduardo would like to make one correction that they thought was vital to the story. It was five days, not six. That was the correction that needed to be made. Yes.
And it was supposed to be an 8-week camp, I'm guessing?
It was a 6-week camp. I was only doing half the summer, 6-week camp. And I made it 5 days, so not even a full week. My mom.
And when did your first letter go out? At the end of the first day? Like when did you start? You were writing letters like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank, trying to get a library built. He sat down every night to write a letter. Not only did Solana get booted from the camp after 5 days, he also got them a library built for all the future campers there up in the, where was it again, the Poconos?
The Poconos. So yeah. Actually, I was dropped off on a Thursday. Letters weren't going out until Monday. So by the time I realized that I needed to get out of here. I was trapped. I needed to get out of there. I started writing letters. I didn't find out until Sunday night that letters weren't being shipped out till Monday. So
oh my God.
I wasn't leaving it to any chance. I sent my parents a letter every single day until Wednesday. I was already out of the camp. They were still receiving letters from me that I wanted to go home.
I saw this great thread on Twitter of There was somebody who was saying it was like a question for people to answer, and it was like, name a time when someone has told you to tough it out when you've had a real and legitimate injury. And someone was like, I had a gangrene ready to burst appendix, and my mom told me that I just had gas that I had to pass. And so I was just kind of wondering, like, when your parents received those letters, like, did they want you to get on with it and try and just survive this camping? Did they realize the urgency of the situation?
My guess is that because there was no communication, they couldn't have that back and forth, but B, they knew their son pretty well, and he was like, if you know Solana, it's why we found the story last night so entertaining, where if you know Solana, it is the least shocking thing in the world that he would decide immediately this camp is not for him, and then ratchet the level of urgency up to 10 by saying that he's thinking of jumping off a cliff in a letter to his parents. There's so little self-awareness in all of that.
My dad and my mom know me. Like, they know, they know I was clearly over exaggerating in the letter, and you know, I had my mind made. I wanted out of there. I was gonna say anything I could say. I mean, Hawk, you say it, I'm a grifter, right? Like, I'll do yep. whatever I possibly can to get whatever I possibly can.
It is true.
I didn't know this side of Solana.
He is shameless. No, he'll tell you he is, but he is shameless. He is as somebody texts in effing crying. Someone else texts in LMAO. A perfect way. If you missed it yesterday, you can go to the radio.com app. You know, the rewind feature is up there for 24 hours. And it was about 5:45 yesterday that we learned this startling story about Alejandro Solana's one time at band camp. But there is so much stuff to get to today. Let's get headlines here. Jorge Sedano is going to join us this hour. We'll get his take on all the movement in the NBA that's going on this week, including the draft. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, it'll get even busier. 3 o'clock hour will bring us Lee Sterling, the sports handicapper, and Jamie Eisenberg, the fantasy football guru for CBSSports.com. 4 o'clock hour will bring us NFL play-by-play broadcaster Josh Appel and a little road trip to Viva Hawk Vegas. 5 o'clock hour, and Jay Figg will be stopping by for Viva Hawk Vegas. Dan Day will gift us in the 5 o'clock hour with a week that was montage. And speaking of montages, we teased you yesterday. Solana has put together a montage of all the Don Bailey Jr. Joe Zagacki calls that they've worked into the broadcast for us. And that's going to happen. Well, we'll probably try to get to the montage in the 2 o'clock hour, replay it later if we can. So let's start the hour, though, with headlines from the aforementioned Alejandro Solana.
These are your headlines from the Modelo Especial Sports Desk. I feel I need to start here, guys. Very pressing story from this morning. Head coach for the University of Miami football team, Manny Diaz, he tested positive for COVID-19 today, and he tweeted out, he is currently in isolation, he's feeling good overall, and he will continue to work with the team virtually for the next couple days.
All right, very good.
NBA free agency opens today, 6 p.m. I'm sure we'll get a ton of news leading up to that 6 p.m. legal start time for free agency, where teams can begin contacting players and enter into contract negotiations. But we all know that everything's probably already set in stone for every
right team. Right now, because letters have been sent out saying, if I have to stay on this team any longer, I'm going to jump off a cliff. So it's very similar to what happened in the Poconos with Solana.
Listen, Bogdan Bogdanovich got out of Milwaukee using the Solana method.
He did. That really was the Solana method. He did the Andy Dufresne as well. He chipped away at that wall, and he looked through it for a second, and it looked like Milwaukee, and he ran back in.
the river of bleep is Milwaukee.
Yeah. He saw that river. He said, you know what? On second thought, not so bad in here.
Some big news in the NFL, guys. Taysom Hill, not Jameis Winston, will start Sunday for the Saints when they play the Atlanta Falcons 1 p.m.
Yeah, I was shocked by that when I saw that on Twitter this morning, but they have paid Taysom Hill a lot of money, so I guess they'll see if it's worth it this Sunday.
I feel like you're either pro Taysom Hill minutes or anti Taysom Hill. Like he is a very divisive figure. When he comes onto the field, I feel like most people are, why are they taking Drew? Like what? Like Sean Payton is clearly just trying to be smarter than everyone else by doing this. But to see over 75 plays, I think is going to be really interesting. I also wonder if he'll quarterback with the glove on the right hand, because he is a two glove player. I kind of wonder if he's going to stick to it like Teddy Bridgewater does.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he does as well. You know, I grew up watching Cordell Stewart, obviously, playing sometimes receiver, sometimes quarterback down here with the Dolphins. Famously, Jim Crash Jensen played that hybrid position. So I don't get as outraged by the Taysom Hill plays. You know, see him take snaps away from Drew Brees is always unsettling, but hard to argue with what New Orleans has done. But this one shocks me. I'm really shocked to see him be the actual quarterback for the entirety of the game. But and they say that there are no offensive packages for Jameis, that it's not like he's going to be running gadget plays. Like, he will just be the backup for the quarterback, who's Taysom Hill.
Last night in the NFL, guys, Seattle, they are now atop the NFC West at 7-3 after defeating the Cardinals 28-21. Russell Wilson wins his 93rd game as a starter, passing Peyton Manning for the most by any QB in his first 9 seasons.
Yeah, we had Seattle last night, -2.5, if you listen to the show, so we had a winner.
I had Cardinals money line. I was kind of aching on that final drive. I was kind of hoping that they'd score and go for two, and I could just I can just celebrate the victory. But I feel like once Kyler Murray got hurt on like the second possession, I felt like that was a loser.
Yeah, and Troy Aikman noticed that right away. Like, I hadn't even noticed it. Troy Aikman was like, wow, look, there's something wrong with him.
And he kept banging on about it for the entirety of the game. Like, if you looked at his numbers, like, yeah, Kyler Murray, you know, it's a normal performance passing-wise. But you saw, like, a diminishment in the rushing production, which I thought was kind of the strangest part of that injury, is that his passing numbers look fine. But I think he was kind of afraid to take hits. And you,
well, that's what I think. He didn't want to get crushed onto it. Yeah, he didn't want to get crushed onto his shoulder again, taking a hit. Yeah.
Tonight, Inter-Miami. They play a play-in game versus Nashville SC into the MLS playoffs at 9 p.m. There was some breaking news last night and into this morning. Gonzalo Higuain, Fede Higuain, and Leandro Gonzalez Pires, they're all out after testing positive for COVID-19, a big blow to this Inter-Miami squad.
We will get Whittingham's handicapping of the Inter-Miami game tonight when Lee Sterling comes on. If I allow him to talk about it now, we'll get derailed and Sedano won't end up coming on until 10 minutes till 3, and I can't handle that.
I can give you all kinds of thoughts on the back four tonight.
I'll be writing a letter to Solana's parents if Whittingham starts talking about Inter-Miami, talking about jumping off a cliff. So
I got to tell you, A.J. De La Garza's got a big job on his hands tonight to fill in for Gonzalez.
Solana, move ahead.
You're going to miss LGP tonight, Woody. It's a shame.
I know. And you're already with Andres Reyes.
Start a text thread with your brother and Whittingham and get me out of here.
He's on red card suspension. You're already without a center back. You lose another. What are you going to do?
Daniel doesn't think Woody is tough enough on this Inter-Miami squad, so I'm not sure if he'll want to be in the text.
All right, fair
enough. And finally, on a serious note, Jake Scott. He was the MVP of the 1972 Super
Legend
Bowl
down here
for the Dolphins, a 5-time Pro Bowler. He passed away at 75.
Yeah, very few defensive Super Bowl MVPs. Jake Scott was one. And, sad loss for Dolphins Nation. A couple other things I know you got a ton of headlines and you can't fit them all in. The Toronto Raptors, they're going to end up playing their games in Tampa.
Yep.
Apparently, I saw Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald tweeted out the Pitt Panthers announced that they and Virginia Tech will wear face coverings on the field during play tomorrow after consulting with Pennsylvania health officials.
Wait, so they're going to play with masks on or with buffs on or?
Wow. Yeah, I would say with surgical masks on. Or,
I mean, I imagine a lot of people have attempted working out with a mask on. Actually, like fairly early on, all I had, because it was difficult to get supplies, I had like a neck warmer that you'd use in like very cold weather. And I tried running in March with a neck warmer on, and I was like, I completely just evaporated in sweat. So I feel like playing a 60-minute football game, everyone knows what it's like to work out with a mask on. You're like, you have 93% the amount of oxygen, if that's a totally made-up stat. But that should be pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would like to see tomorrow what happens there and if that becomes the norm or if they say, yeah, this ain't working. And then also one other thing from Barry Jackson. He retweeted one of the Broncos reporters for 9 News in Denver said, Drew Lock shuffling, rolling, throwing with touch, humming fastballs. What's the issue? He looks fine. Barry Jackson retweeted that and wrote, Broncos say the decision will be made Saturday. Whether he starts Sunday versus the Dolphins, he has soreness in his ribs. Brett Rypien is the backup.
I saw this quote from a Denver columnist that Drew Lock in a press conference said, half the time the ball comes out of my hands and I go, ooh, I don't know where that's going. And I felt good about the Dolphins' chances on Sunday.
I know. Well, we were joking about it yesterday. Like, does it really matter if it's Drew Lock or Brett Rypien?
It does.
Like, is it going to change anything? All right, you got weather, Solana?
I do really quickly, though, Hawk. Those headlines were sponsored by Modelo Especial, the perfect beer for your home tailgate, a beer brewed with the fighting spirit. Your weather update from the Exergen Weather Center. Right now, 79 degrees, mostly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows will drop to around 73. That is your weather.
All right, you see George Sedano all the time on ESPN talking NBA. We'll talk about the Heat's first round pick, and we'll talk about all the movement in the league next with George Sedano here on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I got to go. Tony La Russa's picking me up.
Hawk and Crowder.
How we do it on a Friday? Let's go. Solana brings those DJ skills out.
Perreo.
Yeah, Perreo Friday. All right, we'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. You see George Sedano on The Jump all the time. In fact, was it The Jump I was watching yesterday, Solana, that had Fizdale on it?
Yeah, it was yesterday. Fizdale looking good.
Had no idea, so I'm watching. I see Sedano and I see our friend Kendrick Perkins and... Later on in the show yesterday, Crowder's talking about how Fizdale's trying to look young for a young woman. And then it hit me that that's who I was looking at next to Sedano on The Jump. Of course, Sedano hosts a show every day on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. You know he's a proud Hialeahan, born and raised, and he's joining us now. Hello, George.
Hello, Hockman. Fizz is actually, Mrs. Fizz and Fizz are expecting very soon. So I was talking to him about that. And a little Fizz will burst soon. So there you go.
Crowder
that's what we're hoping for.
Crowder was going nuts.
He's not trying to look nice for a young woman.
Crowder was growing nuts, though, because he was wearing like a cashmere sweater and he's got the hair all grown out. I did not realize that was Fizdale.
Yeah, he looks, I told him he looks very professorial, to be honest with you. Like, I thought he looked like he could be teaching, history at, like, USC or something out here.
I thought it was Malcolm Gladwell for a little bit. I'm looking at it. I was like, I said to Crowder, if you gave me 1,000 guesses, I never would have gotten to David Fizdale in all my guesses.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, that is funny. Yeah, but the Fizz family is expecting. We're very excited.
Very cool. Always a member of the Heat family. When you're a member of the Heat family, you're always a member of the Heat family. Speaking of the Heat, Sedano, so you see them draft Precious Achiuwa, and your thought is?
I loved it. I wanted him or Tyrese Maxey in that range, and it's interesting because Maxey went right after to the Sixers. So I love it. Look, here's the thing, man. If you look at the way the NBA has trended this past year, right? I know that forever we did small ball revolution, right? But I think size is still necessary. I think the Lakers proved that. And when you look across the Eastern Conference, right? Milwaukee, who is a team the Heat are going to have to compete against. They have Giannis, who's like 6'10", 6'11". And they have Brooke Lopez. And they've got other guys. Even Middleton is like a big dude at 6'9", right? And Toronto has got a bunch of long guys. Siakam, Chris Boucher, Ibaka if he returns, right? They've got Gasol if he returns. You look at even Brooklyn. KD is 7 feet tall, okay? They're going to play a center, whether it's Allen if he's there and not traded or DeAndre or whoever. They've got length, right? Caris LeVert is a big dude at 6'8" or so. All these teams, Boston is probably the one team that doesn't have a ton of length, But obviously they've got a lot of athleticism, which you got to guard. And then, of course, you know, the Lakers. I mean, Anthony Davis is the best small ball center we have in the sport. I mean, he's an extraterrestrial, for God's sake. And then LeBron. So the teams the Heat would be competing against directly, right? I think all those teams have, for the most part, guys that you would need someone like Precious to help Bam out with.
When you're looking at this offseason for the Miami Heat, I'm kind of curious, both in a smaller scope and a bigger scope, what their next move is. Because obviously, all eyes will be on Giannis making his Supermax decision on whether or not he'll stay with Milwaukee. You have a bunch of different ways that this can go. If you were to say, what is the most likely thing for the Heat to do starting with free agency, what would you kind of prescribe for them as their long-term strategy here?
First of all, I'm going to say, Crowder, you sound a lot different today. I got to be. Are you okay? You feeling under the weather?
He looked a little pale. He might be sick.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch Crowder tonight. By the way, make sure you watch him tonight on ESPNU. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I know Solana told me. I didn't know that. I'll definitely check it out. I'll have it on one screen while I'm trying to figure out what the hell is happening in free agency. But to answer Young Whittingham's question. Look, I think the Heat will obviously address the guys in-house. We heard Pat Riley say that the other day. He'd like to run it back. Not to say that they won't add to the roster. They've got the full mid-level to work with, if I recall correctly. And, you know, in a perfect world, they'd like to split that up. You know, I think it's about nine and change. So, you know, you can find a way to make that, you know, whatever, you know, almost $5 million, basically. You know, or $5-plus million, excuse me, in between two people. But maybe they give it to one person, or maybe they split it unevenly. Who knows? But anyway, I think they'll take care of Dragic. I think they'll take care of Crowder. I think they'd like to bring those guys back, particularly on one-year deals. And honestly, a guy that I think they should look at is someone that was just on the Lakers, and he opted out of the bubble so people didn't see him, but he was really good for them last year, and that's Avery Bradley, because one of the Heat's weaknesses was guarding the point of attack. And Avery Bradley had been hurt a lot the three previous seasons. But one thing he was always great at, and we saw that again last year, was he's a really good defender on the perimeter. And he clearly hits three-point shots, right? He's a great 3-and-D type player as long as he's healthy. And he proved last year that he could be healthy. So that would be someone I would look at because, you know, Dragic and Nunn, you know, are not necessarily great defenders at this stage. And clearly the Heat want to shoot the ball like everybody else. So I feel like Avery would be a really good fit. That would be someone I would target. I don't know if that's who the Heat would be targeting. But considering their vulnerability there at the point of attack and guarding, you know, quick guards and things like that, I think Avery would fill that hole perfectly.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. You mentioned the Lakers. What are they going to do? You know, the Heat and the Lakers are in an interesting spot because they just finished playing basketball. There's teams like Brooklyn and Chicago and the Knicks that haven't played in a long time. What are the Lakers going to do with LeBron? Are they going to keep him on a strict minutes limit? Are they going to, you know, are we going to not see him very much for the first month of the season? What do you think they're going to do?
So it's funny because LeBron has kind of joked with President Obama on the last edition of The Shop on HBO about how, you know, he may just kind of cherry pick the first half of the season. Now, while I do think that that's possible, I mean, I also know LeBron enough to know that he says those things. And then when the games start, he's like, I want to be out there, you know, like he's got FOMO, you know. So I think that I'd be surprised if we see a ton of load management as opposed to, like, as far as him sitting out games. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I just think that, yeah, they'll monitor his minutes. He played the least amount of minutes, I think, perhaps in his career last season. It certainly helps when you have Anthony Davis around, right? But I think that that could be a possibility. And they drafted a kid last year who we saw a little bit of in the playoffs called Talen Horton Tucker, young kid, really long. They like him a lot, certainly a project type. And the Lakers have done a decent job of developing guys. I mean, we saw Alex Caruso be one of those guys. Kyle Kuzma has been pretty good for them as a guy that was young and they've developed. So they like this kid, and I think that he could see a little run. I'm talking about maybe 10 minutes a game or something to kind of spell LeBron some. So, yeah, I just think there'll be certain nights, Hawk, that they're not going to push the gas with LeBron. And they're just going to try to keep him around 30 minutes or so, at least early on.
What's the thing that can most shake up the NBA landscape right now? Because for me, that's already happened. It's Klay Thompson tearing his Achilles and taking Golden State kind of out of the title race picture a little bit. But what for you in terms of free agency things that could happen kind of in you know the next 12 hours would most kind of grab your attention?
Well, I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but if Anthony Davis was like, no, I'm out, you know, like that clearly would change things. I don't see that happening. It's about Anthony Davis just wants to line up the contract right because he is in his eighth season, and at the 10th season, you can basically get the Supermax no matter what, no matter who you are in the league. And I think he wants to line himself up with this next contract up, while also continuing to put pressure on the Lakers, much like LeBron did with the Cavs for many years, right? Signing shorter contracts to get himself to a certain position. So that would certainly be it. But I'm with you on Klay. And here's the thing on Klay, and I don't think people understand this. And I know there's been a lot of, you know, Hawk and Crowder and I have talked about this, Witty, a lot about the ratings and whatnot. Look, we've seen ratings in sports drop significantly across the board, right? Like, horse racing is down, like the Kentucky Derby is down 50%. And there's no, you know, we're not talking about social justice when it comes to horses, no disrespect to horses. You know what I'm saying? Like the reality is people's habits have been completely thrown out of whack. There are, you know, 30, 40 million people unemployed. There are people off the grid. So that's been a huge issue. Why am I talking about that? Because with the Warriors specifically, okay, I've seen the metrics, okay, from the league and ESPN, the Warriors are a huge draw from a television audience perspective. It's basically LeBron and the Lakers, or any LeBron team, but the Lakers obviously also in that top, usually in that top spot too. But when you combine their forces, they're definitely in the top spot. And then it's the Warriors. And even individually, it's LeBron that gets eyeballs to the table, then it's Steph, and then there's a big drop-off to number three. So Steph is still around, so that should help some. But the fact that the Warriors can't be championship relevant, or at least I don't believe they are anymore, I think that changes things some. Because I think the audience isn't dumb. They realize, yeah, I mean, they'll be good, they'll be fun to watch. But there's not – you're not getting the casuals to come and watch those games. You know what I mean? As much as you would if they were completely healthy and people thought they had a legit shot at a championship, which, look, I wasn't ruling them out if that was the case. I wasn't going to rule them out if they were 100% healthy because I love the Wiseman pick for them. You know, I think that kid is going to be really good for them.
And to kind of stay on that point from kind of an interest level, for me, one of the other aspects of that is kind of the Warriors developed this interest both because they had this incredible entertainment factor, right? You watch their games and they're immensely fun, but you knew that they were going to stick around for a while. That team was going to be together, whereas it was kind of weird to me that the Lakers didn't pick up a similar momentum. Do you think as champions, the Lakers will kind of have that sense of everyone needs to watch them, they're must watch, and who are kind of the other teams that you think will fit into that mold? Because I really don't think the NBA has a ton of them. As much as I enjoy watching a lot of teams in the NBA, I don't think the nation necessarily agrees.
David Stern always famously said, or once famously said, when asked what would be his dream finals, he said the Lakers versus the Lakers. And he's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, even despite all the stuff that we've seen and all the things I just outlined there in regards to how strange television ratings, and by the way, television ratings, I've told this to Hawk before on air, are down 40% overall year over year in the prime demo, which is, you know, I think it's 18 to 54 or whatever it is in television. So that's just the reality of where we are. People are just either not watching regular television and cable and satellite television anymore because they're on to other things, you know? But I guess to your point, look, I still think it's the Lakers in a big way because you have them and LeBron. I think we are going to be closer to what a normal season would look like. I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, right? With all the stuff that's going on right now, who knows? But I think that it's definitely the Lakers. I think that Zion was someone who was bringing people to the table. Zion's first five nationally televised games all did over 2 million. Which is a really good number for a regular season NBA game. So I think that they're, you know, they're someone to keep an eye on, especially if he's healthy and they're good. I think that Brooklyn with KD, I think is someone to keep an eye on. I still think the Warriors will draw. Like, I think it'll be intrigue, but it won't be as much as I mentioned earlier. So I think from an intrigue standpoint, I think those are kind of some of the teams you're looking at. Boston always rates pretty well, too, just historically. A lot of fans across the country because they've been dominant for so long over a look, we can parse that, right? Like, they were really dominant, like, pre-1968, basically. And then they've had spurts of being really good after that. But still, a lot of fans, much like the Lakers. Zion, as I mentioned. KD, just because he's a draw. And by the way, you know, if they trade for Harden, then they really become on the radar, right? Like, I think that is something to really monitor, because if Harden ends up there, all of a sudden there's a lot of pressure on them. It kind of becomes as unique a situation as we've seen since maybe the big three in Miami, where all of a sudden you're like, well, you guys are going to have to figure that out. The parts don't necessarily fit perfectly, and every game is going to feel like a big game. So I think that could be a bit of a game changer, too. I know you asked me that question earlier. So in retrospect, I'm kind of answering both your questions now with that particular answer.
Zion, for me, that is must-watch TV. I feel that way about Trae Young as well. I got to ask you one thing, though, because it's Football Friday. Sedano's with us. He hosts his show every day in Los Angeles. Is Tua Tagovailoa a national topic? Can you spend time talking about him on your show in Los Angeles?
Yeah, absolutely. Did it all week last week when they were playing the Chargers, Tua versus Herbert. And I think that, you know, his first start was a big deal. Like, everybody was talking about it. I was on Around the Horn also yesterday, and we did the Tua topic of him saying that he was taken out of context. Like, that's how you know you've hit a different level when we're talking about you on a national television show at 5 o'clock Eastern, you know, in the B block, you know, which is the second segment. And all you did was clarify something. Like, that's when you know that you're a big deal. And I think for the Dolphins, it's great. Like, as long as he's healthy, man. And look, I was worried, okay, about his health. But so far, so good. And, you know, you got to trust the people around you. You got to trust the doctors. And you got to trust the kid. So I hope, I said at the time, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he's amazing. You know, but I initially would have held him back a little longer. But I absolutely see why Flores did it. Fitzpatrick, for as fun as he can be, is a bit of a turnover machine, because that's who Ryan Fitzpatrick is. And Tua is not. I know in that Cardinals game, he threw two errant passes. One of them, as he was running out of bounds and trying to throw it away, almost threw it in the gut of some cornerback. And, you know, but he is an accurate passer. Like, people talk about him in the same vein as Drew Brees. So, like, I think that he's got the star quality. He seems like an unbelievable kid. Like, everyone you talk to says that about him. He's got the makings of a star. So that's what the Dolphins have needed. The Dolphins have not been nationally relevant since Dan Marino. I know they had a little stint with Ricky Williams, basically. But then outside of that, you know, even those Chad Pennington team, the Wildcat was cool, but it wasn't like, it wasn't this. Like, you've got an established, potentially an established star at the most important position. And if that happens, you know, as big a rock star as he was in college, it's only going to be even bigger as far as the national landscape is concerned and wanting to talk about Tua and the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is fun down here right now when it comes to football, George. It is fun.
I mean, it's fun in general. Miami's on the comeback, man. 2020 has sucked, but Miami's on the comeback. The Dolphins are good. The Heat are obviously really good. I mean, the Marlins made the playoffs.
Marlins made the playoffs.
I know the Hurricanes are dealing. Yeah, the
7-1 though. 7-1. You ain't complaining about 7-1.
7-1. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Panthers. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, they made it to a play-in series. That's got to count for something. Yeah, we had some games in hand. Games in hand are always fun.
I love Randy Bowler as much as the next guy. Okay, the Red Deer. Okay, I love me some Red Deer. But didn't like 20 something teams make the playoffs in hockey this past year?
Granted, it wasn't the greatest accomplishment to make a play-in series and then not advance in that play-in series. But listen, baby steps, George, baby steps. No, it is fun down here. I'm not lying. George Sedano, ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles. Have a great weekend, and we will speak with you soon.
All right, guys. Be safe. Take care.
There you go. George Sedano covered a little bit of NBA and, of course, a little football on this Football Friday. I want to talk about Healthnetic CBD. You probably hear me talk about them every day on this show. This is a premium brand CBD that I prefer. People are using CBD because they believe it might have benefits from relieving aches and pains after a workout to promoting a restful night's sleep. But you got to know that all CBD companies are not the same, and that's why I use Healthnetics. Again, it's a premium brand CBD, and it's available online at healthnetics.com. Healthnetics CBD products are an effective, all-natural option for a healthy mind and body. Healthnetics products, they're made in the USA. They are THC-free. They undergo rigorous third-party lab testing to ensure quality and purity. And all the lab results are linked from a QR code right there on the package. I think I told you yesterday, too, the packaging from Healthnetics is beautiful. It's extremely professional, but that QR code is right there. You flash the camera at it, boom, you will be taken right to all the lab results, so you know you're getting what you paid for. There's nothing to lose. Healthnetics has a 100% money-back guarantee. And again, a lot of people believe Healthnetics CBD can help relieve stress and improve sleep during these stressful times. So find out for yourself. Trust the brand that I use. Go to healthnetics.com. Order today. Use the promo code TICKET. I've been telling you all week. Use the promo code TICKET. You get 10% off your first order and free shipping. Go to healthnetics.com, use the promo code TICKET, get 10% off and free shipping. That website again is healthnetics.com. It's a Football Friday. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
Unfortunately, this is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Too many steps.
Hock and Crowder.
Let's go. Football Friday. Chris Whittingham is in for Crowder. Crowder, you'll be able to watch him tonight, or his team at least, his high school team, on ESPNU. The True Prep Academy Saints taking on IMG Academy there in Bradenton, and it'll be on ESPNU. And so show Crowder a little bit of support. Watch the game tonight. We had Don Bailey Jr. on the show with us yesterday. We had Joe Zagacki on earlier this week. Obviously, the big news today regarding the Miami Hurricanes is Manny Diaz being diagnosed with COVID-19, so he is isolating. But Don Bailey Jr. and Joe Zagacki, they are such great friends of the program. They work in funny lines that we give them every week. And really, it's Don Bailey Jr. that does it. But as we always say, Whittingham, if you don't have Joe Zagacki's blessing, this stuff ain't getting through. And Joe tries to goad him on a little bit, too, if Joe's in the mood. If Joe's not in the mood, he doesn't want to hear about it.
Usually after a couple of bad refereeing decisions, well, I feel like he's all of a sudden
actually,
out of the mood.
I was going to say, you know what? Do you have the call from this past week, the Vatek game, Solana? We gave him, let's play for Whittingham here. Do you have the actual Jim Nance call that we gave Don Bailey Jr.?
From the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, CBS Sports presents The Masters.
All we did was tell DBJ to drop that in there without even telling Joe that it's coming. Just from the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, CBS Sports presents The Masters.
You have to say it like wistfully, right?
Yes, almost you like have to say it.
Imagining there's a piano in your head.
Yes, and that there's beautiful foliage and yes. It's just pretty. And the time that Don Bailey Jr. decided to work this in during the Vatek game was exactly one of those moments. Joe Zagacki was going nuts because of the call. It was the call, if you remember, on Lou Headley, the punter got called for a penalty. Joe was out of his mind. And so DBJ had a great idea, which is I'll relax him with a little Jim Nance. But Joe wasn't in the mood at this particular moment. Yeah, here's how it transpired.
94. That's on Headley, who at the end of the play pushed a Virginia Tech player. And for the life of me, why they just don't say, hey, fellas, go to your neutral corners. But no, in this league, they throw a flag on everything. Don, I get it. He pushed the guy away from him. But that's like going in the third grade and saying, go stand in the corner. All you have to do is go, hey, go to your neutral corners. Halftime's coming up. Nope, we got to throw a flag. I would say the same thing if it was against Virginia Tech.
You sure about that?
Nope. This referee is Sister Mary Elizabeth. We're going to get the ruler out and send you to the corner.
From the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, the Hurricane Sports Network presents the Masters. That calm you down?
The Masters.
So actually, I was listening to this live because I do the halftime show. So I'm standing by at my desk getting ready to do the halftime show. And I thought what Don Bailey was doing there was comparing the football, like comparing the softness of the decision to golf. Right, I thought there was like a legitimate reason why he dropped that line, I thought nothing else of it. And of course, I should have known it was Hockman and Crowder.
Reason at all. So, Don Bailey Jr. has been on his game this season. Crowder and I have given him an A+ just about every week. So they've had 8 games. Do you know how many calls there were total over the 8 games? There had to be 3 or 4 a game, right, Solana?
Yeah, 20. Whatever 49 divided by 2 is, so like 25.
24 and a half.
I don't think you could divide 49 by 2.
Whatever that comes out to.
All right, fair enough.
Who is worse at math on this program, Solana or Hawk?
Me, by a wide margin.
If I hadn't said 24 and a half, what would you have guessed?
50? I would have just come as close as I could. So here it is. Without further ado, Alejandro Solana, without question, the best executive producer in all of radio, has gone into the lab. He has created a montage. Here is every call this season from Don Bailey Jr. and Joe Zagacki.
The rhythm
of the night.
Cinema.
Do you smell what those canes got cooking?
Ah, yes, very well. I'll have that Bloody Mary, steak sandwich, and a steak sandwich.
Cinema. Back with another one of those block rocking beats, Joe. Well, hello, Joe.
Birds are, you know, expert hunters. They eat seeds.
Tokumbu for 3.
Cue fly pie and apple pan dowdy. That'll make your eyes pop out and your tummy say howdy. Give that man 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
I'll tell you where I'd go. I'd go to Zihuatanejo. It's in Mexico, bro. A little place on the Pacific Ocean. We just want our respect. Coach Diaz wants his respect. Kane Nation wants their respect. We all want our respect.
And it's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Go. Back with another one of those block rocking beats, Joe.
Attention. This man is on fire.
No, 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 baby, it's me, Bad Bunny.
Ritmo.
Toka-toka-toe, toka-toka-toe-toe. Toka-toka-toe, toka-toka-toe-toe. Toka-toka-toe, toka-toka-toe-toe. Toka-toka-toka-toka-toka-toka-toe-toe. Kulaki takati, kulaki takata, kulaki takati, kulaki takata.
She called me Mr. Bombastic. She saved me Matt Fantastic. Touched me on the back. She saved me I'm Mr. Romantic.
Oh, searing pain. Absolute searing pain.
Birds are, you know, expert hunters. They eat seeds.
The marching band there is tremendous.
Mission Impossible theme.
Well, hello, Joe.
From the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, the Hurricane Sports Network presents the Masters.
Do you smell what those canes got cooking?
Ritmo.
Ice cream cake and cake. Ice cream cake and cake. Ice cream
Oh my God, Solana, that is unbelievable. Solana, that is as good as anything you have ever produced. Holy hell, was that great. And just reminds me how great Don Bailey Jr. and Joe Zagacki have been this season. Oh my God, I am delighted. We will play that again today. We got to take a break. 3 o'clock hour is next on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, now you're going to shoot me in my pinky toe.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.